San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, July 13, 2025. Today's lesson is Everyone Belongs with Dr. Constance Cook Kaur. Good morning and welcome home to our San Diego Center for Spiritual Living. There's one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation, and I call this God, the Living Spirit Almighty, one indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And so it is. So this is July, and our theme for July is harmony. And so it's been a lot of fun looking up all the different ways the word harmony is used and intended. Our theme for 2025 is simple abundance. But I want to say just a little something about our opening song, Everyone Belongs. Everyone does belong here and wherever we are. That gets deeply into harmony, because when we understand harmony, we're looking at the omnipresence of the divine. But that the music we listen to, Everyone Belongs, it's said in there that every life is a brand new song. Every life is a brand new song, and that's true. And one of the words, one of the phrases that caught me in there was, if there is change, then we just add a new verse. Change is, you know, it's one of those things they say, the only two guarantees are death and taxes. Well, we're finding out maybe taxes aren't guaranteed, but change is inevitable because we are spirit in action. We are moving through every part of our life, and so is everybody else. So everything that we come into contact with other people, is the opportunity to change, the opportunity to be fully present exactly as we are. An opportunity to write a new verse, an opportunity to write a book instead of a poem, all kinds of opportunities to simply express ourself. So for our 2025 theme, Simple Abundance, we have been following along loosely Sarah Bombreathnock's book, Simple Abundance, A Day Book of Comfort and Joy. And so this is July, and this month, because it's summer, we get the opportunity to shed any ambitions and expectations about workshop, working, and school and busyness that we're normally dealing with during the year. So we get to just kind of let go of all of that work stuff. She writes, summer is not so much a season as a melody. That tune of contentment we hum as the days begin to beautifully blur. The pursuit of happiness becomes our personal priority this month, as the sweet strains of the fourth simple abundance principle, harmony, start to be heard in our hearts. There's an Irish proverb, better one good thing that is, rather than two good things that were, or three good things that might never come to pass. And that's about being right here, the one good thing that is. And Sarah says that we want to live every day of our lives so that at the end of the day, we can say, Today, there was no need to glance wistfully at the past or project anxiousness into the future, because the present was fully lived and simply abundant. Today was rich with one good thing after another until it literally overflowed with pleasure. Which is one of those simple reminders to be in the moment, be present in the moment. Harmony is not the same as sameness. It is definitely not sameness. Harmony is a resonance where things come together and they harmonize. One of the things I was talking with my brother with is the difference between analog and digital sound in music. Because one of the things he does is he remasters analog music into digital. And so I'm not going to give you the 2-hour lesson that he gave me, but I am going to tell you that there are things on an analog album, a record album, that are played that cannot be picked up by the digital tracks. They cannot catch them. Because when you're working with digital music, you're doing it within a range of hertz, a range of a box. It's like it has to fit in this box. If it doesn't fit in this box, then the digital form is not going to capture it. But the analog, every track that they lay down also has a resonance that can be counted like digitally. But what people don't understand is that when the track is laid down analog, each note also resonates at a higher and lower frequency. So there's all these hidden sounds that are built into the tracks of the albums that the digital can't match. In his work, what he's done is he has taken the analog and he has converted it to digital at varying different frequencies to see what he can pick up. And the things that are missing in the sound with the digitizing that he does, sometimes they come out beautifully and sometimes they come out just really discordant. So if you think about a beautiful analog sound that when it gets digitized sounds like chaos, then that's why we can understand that all the harmony, all of the natural things that we have are analog. And everything that is digitized is only a snippet of what is truly available. It's like a snapshot that doesn't have the full picture. Well, why would we want the full picture? Because harmony, Emmett Fox wrote, "Refuse to tolerate anything less than harmony. Man has dominion over all things when he knows the law of being and obeys it." What he's saying is, everything is all one. It's all interrelated. It's all a part of each other. You don't have like a C note in isolation. When that C note is heard, it then goes out and expands and resonates with other sounds to make the whole. John Randolph Price wrote, "When we realize the presence of God within us, That realization is the spiritual experience. It is the kingdom of heaven or harmony within you. So just knowing that we are made up of God's stuff puts us in harmony with all that is. Spirit, God, is omnipresent. It is everywhere present. And so we are part of that. Therefore, we are in harmony with the entire universe. In How to Speak the Science of Mind, Dennis Merritt Jones talks about omnipresence. He says, the entire premise of science of mind rests solely on the omnipresent fact that God is all there is. God is all we see and all we don't see, all that has ever been and shall be. While we know we are not all that God is all that we are. All discord in our lives arises because at some level we have created a sense of separation from God. Our ultimate goal in science of mind is to heal this mistaken belief. As we practice our unity with God by experiencing God's full presence at the center and circumference of our experiences, a deep and fulfilling sense of inner peace and wholeness will be the result. This is the peace of God, the rock foundation of all understanding. We're recognizing the omnipresence within us. We're learning about who we are and how we are. And it makes a difference in how we live our lives. Like Sarah told us about July being summer, letting go of our focus on school and jobs and work and stuff, because this is the summer. This is where we're supposed to be able to breathe, be in harmony with what is going on around us. Early on this year, one of the questions she asked us is, what is working in my life and what isn't? And so we get to look at that every single day. What is working in my life? And am I happy with that? What is not working in my life? Is there something that I can think or do or say to get harmony in my life with whatever's going on? And the answer is, yeah, of course there is. Of course there is. We can remember that we are the divine in action. God is moving through us. Emmett Fox wrote The Golden Key, and that is a practical guide for getting out of trouble. Practical guide for getting out of trouble. And it's such a simple little phrase, and yet when I say that, I think of all the ways people can get into trouble. Little kids can get into trouble. Adults can get into trouble. Teenagers can get into trouble. And it's like, wait, there's just too many options. Let me go back. How can I practically get out of whatever it is? Doesn't matter what it is. And that's through prayer, through focusing our direction. He tells us prayer will enable you sooner or later to get yourself or anyone else out of any difficulty on the face of the earth. It is the golden key to harmony and happiness. Prayer is the golden key to harmony and happiness. And prayer is the mightiest power in existence. You don't have to take anybody's word for it. Try it yourself and see. Wherever you are, wherever you may be, the golden key to harmony is in your hand now. What Emmett Fox tells us how to use this prayer is to stop thinking about whatever our difficulty is and think about God instead. Stop thinking about how much gas do I have in my car and start remembering that God is all there is. And then I can be in harmony and then going to the gas station, getting more gas, whatever I have to do, is not an anxiety-inducing thing. It's simply a part of the harmony of life. And that's his whole complete rule. Stop thinking about the difficulty and think about God instead. What that does is it moves our thought from looking at the outside to looking at the inside, who we are, that harmony that is already within us. Now, harmony has multiple definitions, including a pleasing arrangement of parts, agreement, and a musical concept. Harmony is the sound of things that go together well. When we use it as a noun, it's an agreement, such as in feeling, sound, look, feel, or smell, a situation in which people live and work happily together without any big problems. Now, I grew up in a large family. We had 6 kids in our family, and in the cul-de-sac where I lived, there were 3 families that had 6 kids each. So to get all of these people in harmony could have been a big deal, but it wasn't, because there were enough kids of enough different ages and common ages that there was always a few people to play with that were your own age. There were always older brothers and sisters and neighbors to tag along after and say, "Can I do it? Can I do it? Can I do it?" While they said, "Go home. Get back. You can't do this. You're too little." But we had 3 or 4 of us little ones that we could try and convince them that they should let us do something, or we were going to tell somebody's mom or dad. But it's a place, a situation where people can live or work happily together. And overall, it was a happy cul-de-sac. The biblical term, harmony is not just about things fitting together nicely. It's about reaching a place that mirrors the peace and the wholeness that God wants for us. In the spiritual meaning, it's a state of agreement, peace, and balance. And in music, it's the concept of combining different sounds to create a new, distinct musical idea. Reverend John played a 12-string guitar that had its own self-contained harmony, because there's 2 of each string and they're tuned differently. So if you pick one string, not only is it going to resonate, but the vibrations that go through the air from that one string are also causing all of the other strings and the wooden body of the guitar to resonate in their own harmonious area of that one string. Playing the 12-string guitar is a really deep thing for me, because my father played it, my brother plays it, John played it. And there is, you take a regular old song, any song, and you play it on a 6-string guitar, and it sounds pretty darn good. You play it on a 12-string, and it just evolves and explodes with sound and vibration all around you, because You don't have just one string. You have the others. Also, a lot of six strings have plastic strings. They don't have metal strings. And the 12 strings all have metal strings. And plastic doesn't resonate the same way that metal does. So this, it's all these infinite little details that come together and create one beautiful, harmonious experience. The Cambridge Dictionary says that harmony is agreement of ideas, feelings, or actions, or a pleasing combination of different parts. In art, the combination of separate but related parts we can put together in a way that uses their similarities to bring unity to a painting, a drawing, or other art project. And all of these various definitions of harmony make one thing very, very clear. Harmony applies to everything. Everything. Harmony applies to everything. So where did we get that word? It goes, the origin of the word is from Latin, harmonia. And then there was the Greek, harmonia. And that harmonia meant joint, framework, or agreement. Harma was a chariot, and harmos was a joint. And araraskein is to join together. So all of these come together in this word harmony. If you think of a chariot as being structurally harmonious to allow people to move, we can take that physical thing and we can apply it to sounds and feelings and words. It came into use in the Middle English, about 1350 to 1400, and it was harmonie from French and Latin and Greek. That's what we are, putting things together in a harmonious manner. These are things that we get to know. One book. Here we go. Ernest Holmes said, "Everything in the universe is for us. Nothing is against us. Life is ever giving of itself." Ever giving of itself. So what is life? Well, in the Science of Mind textbook on page 53, paragraph 3, Ernest Holmes wrote, "When we are dealing with real life, with thoughts, impulses, emotions, etc., we are dealing with causation, with original cause, and we should be most careful how we deal with such powers and forces. In dealing with this subtle power of mind and spirit, we are dealing with a fluent force. It is forever taking form and forever deserting the form which it has taken. Thus, a practitioner of this science should not be confused over any given form, but should know that any form which is not of the original harmony is subject to change. The original spirit is harmony. The original spirit is harmony. It is beauty and truth and everything that goes with ultimate reality. The universe is not divided against itself." That's important to remember. Original spirit is harmony, and the universe is not divided against itself. It's all one, and it all harmonizes. It all fits and supports itself everywhere. And we get to do the same thing. We get to explore and experience a harmonious lifestyle. We choose. We choose. In the Daily Word from February 11th in 2011, it says, "Self-knowledge frees me. My ability to lead a balanced and fulfilling life depends on the freedom to know and be myself. Tuning into what I feel, need, and desire is aided by observation and soul searching. When I am quiet and relaxed, I am able to become self-aware and explore my inner world. If I discover worry and stress are holding me back, I recognize I am curtailing my freedom. I am curtailing my freedom. I free myself by giving my concerns over to the divine within and praying for guidance and peace of mind. I call upon my spiritual attributes of wisdom, insight, and inspiration to lead me into wholeness and the freedom of expression I desire. As guidance comes, I feel light and free as I open fully to divine life and love." So what it's advising us to do is what I've already talked about this morning. It's returning to our natural state of harmony. We are one with omnipresence. We're absolutely one with omnipresence. One of the things that we are aware of is that everyone, even though we're all in harmony, everyone is unique. Each person has their own purpose, their own mission, their own desires, guesses, guides, whatever. Every single person is unique, and yet we are all one. And when we express our uniqueness, we express it in a harmonious manner so that as we are together in a group, we are still of one heart, of one essence, of one life. You get to be you. I get to be me. But when we do this, it's like a musical score. The different notes are there. Each note is unique. And yet when they are played together in a pattern, there is beautiful, harmonious music. So if we look around us at other people and we don't understand them, let's just say they are notes on a musical score. And somehow we all fit together and the music is beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. There is, that's pretty much the harmony part. There is a piece of news that I need to address. And I thought about addressing it at the beginning, but I thought, no. Because it doesn't impact us that much. However, it is a change in federal law. In 1954, the U.S. tax code included what was called the Johnson Amendment. And it applied to 501c3 nonprofit organizations, which are basically charities, universities, and churches. And what it said was, okay, you guys, you're nonprofits. Therefore, you cannot go out and endorse political candidates. And then they changed it, I don't know, about 20 years ago, and they said, okay, you can't endorse or say anything against political candidates, because evidently some people were getting around that and saying, we are not endorsing Nixon. We are definitely not endorsing Nixon. But who was Nixon running against? Kennedy. So, you know. So they had to fine-tune that. Well, the National Religious Broadcasters brought a lawsuit saying by not allowing the churches to speak on political candidates, you're stifling our free speech. Huge discussions. But on July 7th and July 8th, they came up with a settlement. The IRS came up with a settlement. And what they said is only churches may endorse or speak against candidates, political candidates. Now, the reason it's for churches is because of religious freedom. For many years, we have had an annual Pulpit Freedom Sunday. And so that was the Sunday where all the churches said, we're going to say whatever we want. And if we want to endorse political stuff, we're going to. And so then they would take a transcript of their talk and a recording of their talk, and they would send it to the IRS, which was just a way of saying, you guys, you're trying to keep us from Pulpit Freedom Sunday or from freedom of the pulpit. But IRS never did anything. They thought, fine, you're expressing you're airing your grievance. That's okay. But now they have said that churches, speaking it from your pulpit is like speaking to a family. And I absolutely agree with that. And so the community, the family at the center has the legal right to endorse candidates or speak against candidates without losing their tax-exempt status. Now, I'm telling you this because it makes a difference in what may or may not occur in churches. In our center, it is not going to make a difference at all because we have never wanted to endorse or speak against any candidate. Very few propositions have enough sway that we would counsel for it or against it. One of the things we like to do is make sure that you know both sides of an issue. We teach how to think. We do not teach what to think. No matter what anyone's political perception, however they feel politically, it is each person's responsibility to vote. And so we encourage everyone to vote, and we encourage everyone to look at the issues and to vote responsibly. We will never tell you who to vote for two reasons. The biggest one is, it's not my job to tell you what to do. Definitely not my job. My job was to teach you how to think. The other is, if I say, vote for this, I am going to offend half of the congregation that doesn't like that. If I say, vote for that, I am going to offend half of the congregation that doesn't like that. So it is not in any church's best interest to say, or to tell people who or what they should vote for. To maintain harmony in the church, to maintain harmony in the congregation, to recognize that all of us have the divine within and that guidance is in our own selves. That harmony is already within. So yeah, now you know there's been a change in the law. Doesn't affect us at all. But if you are ever at a religious center and they are saying, vote for this guy or vote for that guy, you don't have to report him to the IRS anymore. It's not against the law anymore. So, harmony. Being one with all. Being one as part of the whole. The universe cannot stand against itself. We are made up of God stuff. God stuff is omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. And it's the omnipresence that is harmony. So I thank you for your time, for your attention, and for the harmony that we experience here. Namaste.